And now, it's time for our weekly news round. Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
A street preacher who regularly broadcasts his message in Taunton Town Centre has been found guilty of a religiously aggravated public order offence. Michael Overd, 52, of Creech, St. Michael, and fellow Christian Michael Stockwell of Selden, New York, were arrested after using what police deemed to be offensive language in Bristol city centre. Officers acted following complaints from members of the public about their activities in Broadmead last July. The Crown Prosecution Service authorised the men to be charged with a religiously aggravated public order offence, which falls under the Crime and Disorder Act 1998. Overd and Stockwell denied the charges, but have been found guilty following a trial at Bristol Magistrates Court. Michael Phillips, the attorney representing Overd and Stockwell, proclaimed before the court that the prosecutor's allegations are completely out of line. Prosecution was a modern-day heresy trial dressed up under the Public Order Act, Phillips told the Bristol Magistrates Court. In defence of the Christian men, their counsel argued that the two were legally exercising their democratic right to preach and quote from the King James Version Bible in a public venue, a matter of free speech. However, Ian Jackson, the public prosecutor in the case, claimed that the concepts and material uttered from scripture that was translated into the King James Version of the Bible more than 400 years ago should not be allowed to be publicly spoken in contemporary time in the UK. Whilst it is right that if things are said in the Bible, they can be said to be an expression of religious belief, to use words translated in 1611 in a very different context, in the context of modern British society, must be considered to be abusive and is a criminal matter, Jackson contended before the court. At a later time, the prosecutor insisted that the word of God recorded in the Bible is false teaching. To say to someone that Jesus is the only God is not a matter of truth, Jackson expressed in a recorded statement. To the extent that they are saying that the only way to God is through Jesus, that cannot be a truth. Christian Institute director Colin Hart addressed Jackson's response, insisting that his argument is not based in British law. We must not forget that strong protections for free speech still remain in our country, Hart asserted. There has been no change in the law in this area since 2014, when the word insulting was removed from Section 5 of the Public Order Act. He went on to contend that the unfavourable ruling against the Christian men in the lower court was a grave mistake, one that should be rectified through their appeal to a judge of greater stature. It would be completely wrong for Christians to conclude that reading the KJV in public has suddenly become a criminal offence, the Christian legal expert maintained. Of course, the law is not always correctly applied, and the verdict in this case can be fully examined by a higher court. Over an hour of footage from a body camera worn by Overd was watched by the court. During the video, Stockwell said, "Allah is the greatest deceiver, that's in the Quran. You will die for your sins and be cast into hell, and Jesus Christ is coming back and taking vengeance." Overd told the crowd, "Muhammad is a liar and a thief just like you and me. Buddha isn't on the cross, he is a liar just like you and me." He said sex before marriage was immoral and that it used to be a shameful thing to get divorced. He added that the Bible talks of marriage between a man and a woman and everything else is abhorrent. "David Cameron is no more a Christian than my dogs. I've got two dogs," he adds, when talking about gay rights. They were both fined £300 and ordered to pay a victim surcharge of £30. They will also have to jointly pay court costs of £3,372. An application for a criminal behaviour order against Overd will be heard in May. Chief Inspector Andy Williams said, "The police have to strike the balance between the right to freedom of expression and free speech and behaviour that causes a member of the public to feel harassed, alarmed or distressed as a result of what is said or done. The court has today determined that these men crossed that line and used their platform to comment on other religions and sexuality using disparaging and offensive language. They recorded their preaching on a GoPro camera, which captured the exact words used and the reaction of those listening. They were fully aware of the impact their preaching was having on their audience and the resulting tension it was causing. We took statements from 13 members of the public, and I'm grateful for their wholehearted support of our investigation and to those who gave evidence in court. Bristol is a diverse city which is proudly respectful and tolerant of different perspectives and views, and this conviction underlines our commitment to work with the community to keep the city free from hate and intolerance. Avird has been in court before for expressing his views in Taunton Town Centre. A previous guilty verdict was overturned at an appeal. Pastor Roger Jones and his wife Emily have returned permanently to the UK because of Roger's ill health. They served St Paul's Boreham Wood before he accepted a call to Paris, and while there he was elected as president of the Evangelical Lutheran Church Synod of France. Pastor Roger suffered a major stroke in 2014. He was making a slow recovery, but suffered a series of strokes which have severely affected him. Please keep Pastor Jones and Emily in your prayers. Britain's rail bosses have censored an image of a saint from a display of art inside a railway station, saying it was overtly Christian and would offend multicultural values. Network Rail, which is partly funded by the taxpayer, banned an image of St John the Evangelist from Rochester Station in Kent, which has just reopened after a £26 million revamp. The image of the saint, one of the apostles of Christ, was to be placed at the station entrance with other iconography inspired by Rochester's ancient cathedral. The display was a nod to the city's heritage as one of the oldest Christian ecclesiastical cities in Britain. Its cathedral, founded in 604 AD, is the second oldest in Britain after Canterbury. The move comes after the ban by some cinemas of an advert which shows the Archbishop of Canterbury and others reciting the Lord's Prayer. The Bishop of Rochester, James Langstaff, said last night, "This is the Lord's Prayer issue all over again." Having worked with other religious groups, they do not find Christianity uncomfortable at all. I don't think they will be offended, but rather respect our expressions of faith. The work was produced by artist Katayoon Dawlat Shahi, 47, whose father was a Muslim. She said, "I don't think it's the right decision. We should be allowed to celebrate our Christian heritage. In the context of Rochester's past, it was not the right thing to do." A Network Rail spokesman said the company told the artist to remove some of the planned images to create a balance. A Berlin Lutheran pastor claims that the Germany's Ministry for Immigration and Refugees is rejecting many applications for asylum from Iranian and Afghan converts from Islam to Christianity. The Reverend Gottfried Martins, who was baptized more than 1,000 former Muslims, accused the almost exclusively Muslim translators of falsely translating the converts' responses to jeopardize their applications. Martins, a pastor of the Lutheran Trinity community, criticized the ways in which officials investigated whether a conversion was genuine. Questions are put, such as the names of the two sons in the parable of the prodigal son, or what Martin Luther died of, he said. In some hearings, Martins said asylum applicants repeatedly undergo being mocked when they relate how important it is to them that Jesus Christ died for their sins on the cross. Egypt imposed a three-month nationwide state of emergency this week as President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi sought to ease public anger and take a tougher stand against Islamic extremists after suicide bombers at two Coptic Christian churches killed 45 people. A day after the Palm Sunday bloodshed, the Interior Ministry said it killed seven Islamic State militants in an exchange of gunfire during a security operation in the southern city of Asyut. The ministry alleged that they were plotting attacks against Christians. It posted cop photos of corpses lying next to weapons and said IS publications were found with them. A state of emergency already in place in the Sinai Peninsula has failed to halt near daily attacks against police and security forces by the Islamic State group in the volatile area. Now the group is stepping up its attacks against Christians, who make up 10% of the population, by moving its activities from the Sinai to other parts of Egypt. Its increasingly sophisticated tactics are likely to fuel sectarian tensions and embarrass el-Sisi. The Palm Sunday bombings struck churches in the port city of Alexandria, the historic seat of Christendom in Egypt, and the city of Tanta. the head of the Coptic Church, Pope Tewodros II, had been inside St. Mark's Cathedral in Alexandria when the bomber struck, but he was unhurt. We are seeing simultaneous attacks based on strong information targeting big churches across the country. This is a very dangerous development, said Mina Thabet, a rights researcher focusing on minorities. Christians are in a state of shock, he added. Attacks are recurrent, victims are falling in bigger numbers, and people live in fear, and these groups are growing in power, number, and resources. There were scenes of grief and anguish on Monday as mourners wailed during funerals at the sprawling St. Mina Monastery on the outskirts of Alexandria. Some collapsed near the coffins which bore the word martyr. Similar scenes took place a day earlier at a church in Tanta, where victims were laid to rest in a place of honour. The Islamic State claimed responsibility for the attacks and identified the two attackers with names suggesting they were Egyptians. The group which carried out a bombing at a Cairo church in December that killed 30 people threatened much more violence, saying the blood of Christians would flow like rivers. Coptic Christians have put their faith in El-Sisi, who championed himself as the bulwark against Islamists. The former army chief met with US President Donald Trump a week ago at the White House, seeking closer ties and discussing the fight against extremism. Trump spoke by phone Sunday with El-Sisi to express confidence that Egypt will do what it can to protect Christians and all Egyptians. The latest IS attacks were a blow to El-Sisi's image and left many Christians doubting whether he is capable of protecting them. He sought to restore that confidence by imposing the state of emergency, declaring 3 days of mourning, deploying special forces to help police secure churches and other key installations, and ordering the formation of a new body called the Supreme Council to combat terrorism and fanaticism. New research by Sun Life has found that 82% of people over 50 don't want a hymn at their funeral. The same survey also found that Always Look on the Bright Side of Life by Monty Python is the song most would choose. Songs with a comedy twist are popular, with Another One Bites the Dust making the top 10. The most popular song choices include the hymn Abide With Me in second place and Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven third. Hymns accounted for 18% in total, except in Northern Ireland, where 57% of over 50s would still choose one. More than a third of the over 50s questioned would prefer a rock, pop or country track. The age group most likely still to choose a hymn are the over 65s. A quarter would, while only 12% of the 50 to 54s would want a hymn at their funeral. And finally, an angry husband in St. Petersburg, Russia, filled his wife's car with concrete after she reportedly changed her surname to win a supermarket promotion. The man claimed he and his wife had been going through a rough patch in their marriage and that her name change was the final straw for him. The man, whose name has not been revealed, is seen directing a concrete mixing lorry as it backs up next to the car and then positions the chute through the car's open driver's window. He then gives the order for the lorry's load of cement to be poured into the car, filling the vehicle up to the level of the windows. The final straw in their relationship was when she changed her last name from his surname to the name of a supermarket, ironically called Veni, Loyal. The supermarket chain had promised to pay 50,000 rubles or £703 per month to any customers prepared to legally change their surname to that of their brand. She had reportedly admitted to her husband that she had not been loyal to him, prompting the husband into wanting his revenge. He came up with the idea of filling her car with concrete because he knew how much she loved the car, keeping it spotless inside and out. I suppose you could say she was now set in her ways. My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.